the last album that we released was a bit of a detour for us because it was dealing with a literary work called The Wheel of Time, and it was a conceptual album around that literary work. Usually we focus very much on our own contents, concepts, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll leave it there, but I'm happy to talk more about that.
No, that's pretty cool. It seems that you can read minds as well, because you already answered one of the questions I was going to ask you in a few minutes, so that's good.
Excellent.
If you had a theme on your album, so anyway, you answered kind of that with the last
album. I can talk a bit more about that, if you want me to mention.
Sure.
I can expand on the theme. So for this last album, the reason for us going this route is because a few of us are big fans of fantasy and Wheel of Time in particular as a series. And for me, it was the first large English language series that I started reading when I first came to Canada and was living here and learning the language. So it left its mark on me. But it's also a fascinating series in the way and what it offers. So there are a lot of pros. It's a well-known series. But the interesting part about that is that it has a lot of gaps that you are able to explore and extrapolate from. And from our perspective, it was very, very cool to go into it trying to explore these gaps and specifically focus on the antagonists of the series and what their motivations were and try to see things from their point of view and ask some questions like, did they have a point? Were their actions in a way reflective of a stronger reality than the protagonists, which is in any kind of novel where there's good and evil, is obviously sometimes a very easy question to answer. But in this case, that was not like that at all. There was a lot of gray area, and we enjoyed exploring that. And so the concept behind this whole album is asking the questions of what does it mean to be evil, and that extrapolates to reality as well. Which of our idols are false, and which heroes are actually degenerates, and where are the lies in the history that we believe? And so we use the Wheel of Time as kind of a vehicle to try to answer those questions and then let the listeners extrapolate to real life.
Well, that's pretty cool. You're doing like seven, what's the word I'm looking for? You're merging like seven subjects like into one, like, you know, history, philosophy, you know, psychology, everything. It's pretty cool.
Not quite that bookish, but yes, it's interesting. There are different layers. I think we enjoy that, right? Like when you write the concept, you want to dig as deep as you can into it and then let people make their own conclusions, but point them in a certain direction. So that's what we try to do.
No, that's cool. So the other question that always comes up is, how did the name of the band came upon?
Yeah, that's an interesting one as well. I will say there's two parts to it. There's the creative parts, and then there's the practical parts.
I thought you were going to say there's two parts, Red and Kane.
Well, I mean, yes, that goes. That would have been a good joke, actually. Well done.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. I'll have to keep that one for future reference, actually.
Yeah, my gift to you. You can use it anytime. Yeah, copyright
free. This is already paying. This interview is very great. But you know, it basically was, we had to figure out what was conceptually related to the stuff that we're going to do. And so the Red Cane just ties into the biblical story of Cain and Abel. It's something everybody knows, kind of directs them into the mythology path that we were pretty strong with at the beginning. And then it gives them a pretty vivid image with the color red and the specks of blood and all this kind of warlike theme around it. And from a practical sense, I'm not going to lie, but we're trying to find a band name that was already not taken, which was honestly a difficult thing to do, given how many bands there are. So in a way, Red Cane, when we arrived at it, it fulfilled both objectives, because it was simple, it was memorable, it evoked good imagery, and it tied into the stuff we were going to write about. But it was also not used by any other band, which was honestly the biggest win.
Yes, yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, it's amazing how many names there are. there's a radio station called Rock 101 here. I'm not sure if you heard about it. So anyway, some time ago, they had a little kind of two people doing not a comedy show, but, you know, kind of a comedy thing at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So anyway, they had a little section called Band or Bogus, and they could say, they will say three names or four names of bands, quote unquote. And you had, you know, the caller had to, you know, say if it was Band or Bogus, and you will get a prize, whatever. And some of those names, believe me, my goodness, it was like, yes, some of them were just amazing, and they were real bands. So
that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you also remind, you know, how sometimes I go, you know, to the Encyclopedia Metallum to look for band names or, you know, history or discography or whatever. And yeah, it's interesting when sometimes you hit a name and you have, you know, 25 results of the bands being named exactly the same. So I hear you about the name being unique.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right. And so I guess the next one is, like, in terms of membership, like, is the current, I guess, lineup been together for long or not?
No, we've had turnover, I think, between every album at this point, but that reflects the reality of being in a band.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also reflects the pace that we wanted to go with. Because generally with all our releases, we try to have a fairly quick lead up from recording to tracking, and that requires a lot of effort and commitment from band members to learn the songs, to participate in the process, to contribute to the band. But a lot of our turnover is also because we work with very talented musicians, and they tend to go with their own separate ways and pursue other projects. And that's not completely understandable. We've had a few of our guys, guitarists mostly, move to, like one went to Nashville to pursue a solo career. Another one moved to Eastern Europe, likewise, to pursue a solo career. So we've had to essentially work around that. Luckily, though, the current lineup is a very strong one, and I have a lot of hopes for that to stay long term. I think we've actually probably got the most talented lineup we've had since our EP. And the new people that joined, specifically Sam Rideout, our new guitarist, and Kaylee Yan, our bassist and backup vocalist, are incredible musicians and really good friends. So I think it's reflected on this album and future albums. This is kind of our way of gelling the new lineup on this release, but I expect even better things from the next one.
No, that's great. Yeah, I hear you. It's not easy staying in the family.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. You need to have a core in the band, I think. So we're lucky enough that, like, Taylor Gibson, our drummer, and myself, we've been in the band since the beginning. So it's really nice to have somebody who's been there. But in general, I think it's interesting to have new people come in and bring their own special abilities and concepts and styles and work within that. It keeps things fresh.
So in terms of the compositions, is there somebody that handles lyrics versus somebody that handles, you know, riffs or bass riffs or what have you?
So I monopolize the lyrics and vocals, but aside from that, it's very much a collaborative process, and we try to make it a collaborative process. One of the rules that, well, it's kind of a soft rule, but people generally take advantage of it. But from the very beginning, I was saying that anytime anybody new enters the band, they have, if they choose to, they can have full creative control over one track, and write it as they see fit and collaborate with the rest of the band. And it becomes their contribution to the band that is, you know, belongs to them more than anybody else. And then that goes on the first album. So we've done that already multiple times, and it's worked really well. But yeah, it's just a way to get the new people invested in the band, understand the concept, understand what we're aiming for, and kind of feel like they've already, like, threw some coins in the fountain, so to speak. So this is the same thing with this album. And in general, I think we were a lot more collaborative here, and because we just came out of COVID and everybody was like, well, shit, we want to work together. Yes. Like, let's get in a room, let's start writing. And so a lot of the songs were actually, like, super fast, not very well planned, and then they grew into something much better organically. Like, I'll give you an example. The Great Hunt, we wrote in less than a month, wrote and tracked and basically had it ready. from like an inception of an idea to the final product, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it sounded really good. I was going to ask you about the on that particular song. I was going to ask you about the well, I don't know if they are synthesizers or what's the proper instrument you used, like for the background. I think you know what I mean, like the keyboards. Were the keyboard synthesizers, like what?
Yeah, orchestration essentially is what you're asking about, right? Yeah. So honestly, we love that. That's one of my favorite things to do. I was actually, before I got into rock and roll and heavy metal, I was listening to like Eurotrance and various electronic music, which I have now obviously moved past, but I always liked those elements in the songs, and I think it lends itself to a more modern sound and gives you a stronger landscape. So we use that a lot. We use a lot of synths. We use pianos. We use strings, various other orchestration. And actually, in this album, we've toned it down compared to the previous ones. We had a ton. This one, we turned it down because we felt it was important to have a more raw sound. It was very guitar-focused, with the death metal growls and all that stuff that's in the album. It's a harder punch than what we've used to do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good direction because it forces us to choose instead of shoving a lot of tracks that may fit, but also... it's something that focuses us a bit better when we write music, and that's part of our development as musicians, I think.
Okay, no, sounds good. Yeah, it to me it sounded really great because it's kind of, at least here for the Great Hunt, it's kind of in the background, but you can hear it, and you know it's present, but not, like you said, omnipresent. And I'm listening.
Really good.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'm listening to that. I'm like, wow, that sounds, I mean, it sounds good. Like, it fits. I mean, well, that's my humble, you know, non-expert opinion.
Yeah, so. that's actually really awesome to hear because we did feel before that in some songs we may have gone too overboard with the orchestration, and here we never wanted to lose the focus. We wanted always to have that aggression, speed, heaviness present in every track. So, it looks like it happened for us. But thank you.
Yeah. No, and now I'm going to have, not going to have, that did sound good. Well, maybe yes. I'm going to have to listen to the other album to compare, the orchestration before versus today.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a good, Now I'm going to listen to two albums, not one. So great. Great marketing. are you planning on promoting the album? Is there any tour happening, will be happening?
Yeah, so we're currently in the works. We had a European tour set up right before COVID with our previous album, which unfortunately fell through because of everything was happening around that time.
Yeah.
So we're trying to pick up the pieces there and reestablish some contacts and see what we can do. We're obviously very passionate about our North American fan base, and so that's also something we would love to do. But we want to make sure that we hit the right people at the right time. And so right now for us, the album was the big lift. It was our big post-COVID thing. It was basically our objective with the new lineup. But, you know, as musicians, you want to play live. So I think this is the next element in this journey, is to figure out how do we reach as many fans as possible and where we go to do that.
No, yeah, I hear you. Yes, it's tricky. It's tricky as much as us fans and you musicians would like to play, you know, probably 300 days a year. It's not easy. A lot of
coordination. It's rough too because in our current era, a lot of the venues that we knew from prior that we've even spoken to about potentially setting up a tour are no longer there. Mm-hmm. And this is the case in a lot of cities. It's certainly the case in Calgary too. So this is where you have to search and find new locations potentially and then see what you can work with. So yeah, it's a different landscape than it used to be, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, yeah, I hear you. It's, a few of the, I guess, bad things that happened after. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's business. If no people come to your venue, then you don't make money. I understand it. It's unfortunate, again, for the people that own them, but I think we'll rebound. Just needs to be given time. Heavy metal will never die, right?
Rock and roll will never die, that's right. Or metal or heavy metal, yes. mm-hmm. all of the above. No, yes, I hear exactly. you. Okay, so where can people find your music? Do you have also like maybe merchandise or, yeah, tell us.
You can go to redcane.ca. That's the main site. We're also on Bandcamp. We are on Facebook. You should be able to just type in Red Cane into any browser and it'll pull up everything you need to know. Instagram, we have that. We're quite heavy in Spotify. We love when people stream our music. Obviously, that is the consumption model. And we're really big into giving people a really, really easy access to the all the previous albums and this one. So Spotify is a great place for that. But you can reach out to us as well. We love talking to fans. So you're going to fire us a message on our social media or anything else. By all means, please do. We'd love to hear the impressions from the album. They've been really interesting so far because it's such a different step for us from the previous work. But yeah, all of them are very cool. But yeah, any of those would absolutely work.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you very much again for being here with us. And yeah, whenever you have a chance to put a little tour together, well, let us know and we would love to spread the word.
Absolutely. I would love to do that. Thank you very much. I appreciate the offer. Yeah. And this has been a great conversation. Thank you for the time, too.
Oh, no, you know, you have, I mean, you have a sexy voice and, you know, I mean, it's, what can I tell you? It's like, yeah, perfect. I didn't need to be here. Like, you could have done it yourself.
It's all an act.
Exactly. Oh, thank you. Oh, and one more thing before I forget. So can you pronounce the name of the album again, the new one? And I guess, what does it mean? I forgot that.
Right, yes. It's pronounced Nea Bliss. It is a direct reference to a word from the Wheel of Time series, which is Nea Bliss with one S. Which is the title of the champion of Dark, which is, you know, the side of the antagonist that we were discussing before. Mm-hmm. However, we were also very influenced in this album by Swedish metal and various Swedish bands, Opeth, Meshuga. And so the little umlaut over the A was kind of a little nod to Swedish metal. And then the last piece of this little puzzle with the title of the album is the Bliss portion, which is again a direct reference to the concept that we were writing about, which is the fact that these antagonists, who are protagonists for us, their ultimate objective is to essentially erase existence as it is right now, and that is a form of bliss for them to achieve. So we felt like all of those things kind of made a nice little puzzle and tied into the name. And there's a lot of abstraction in the musical content and everything else too, so the abstract title seemed to work for us.
No, it makes, yeah, it makes total sense. You know, the little details is like, yeah, that's cool. I like that, you know. Remind me of finding all these symbols in, you know, in the Iron Maiden albums, that always there was 12 symbols hidden anywhere in the album. They were always in all the albums, but you had to find them.
Exactly. That's pretty cool. It's a rich tradition. Like Led Zeppelin did that as well. So we were looking at that a little bit and seeing what we can do. Maybe not as extreme as they did, but a little bit of that.
Well, that's cool. Well, thank you very much again, Jack. I really appreciate it. It was fun. A lot of fun to talk to you. And let's do it again.
Likewise. I appreciate that as well. All Enjoy right. your nights.
It's Thanks. You too. Bye.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right, that was Jack from, Red Cane. Thank you very much for being with us. And let's play some more music from them and keep the music going here at the Metal Meltdown.